chapter 17. Bella paused, gazing at the run of the grain on the tabletop. She was remembering times long gone.
Where did old Lord Broctree and Bore the Fighter go questing?
Martin asked softly. The badger gave an answer in a single word.
Salamandastron.
Salamandastron?
Martin repeated the strange-sounding word. Bella nodded slowly.
Aye, the Fire Mountain, secret place of the dragons.
Martin's eyes went wide with wonderment.
Bella, don't stop now. Carry on, please.
The badger smiled wistfully.
Ah, little Martin the warrior. I see that same strange fire kindled in your eyes, just as it was with my father and his father before him. Why must Salamandastron always weave its spell upon the brave? I can see your desire to travel there. That is as I wanted it to be.
Martin furrowed his brows.
You want me to travel to Salamandastron? But why?
Bella leaned close, emphasising each word with a tap of her paw on the table.
Since Bor left Mossflower, we've lived under virtual siege. First there was the rebellion, when many brave woodlanders lost their lives. Then there was the settlement, with its slummy hovels and tolls, and soldiers harassing the creatures that had to endure living there. I know it seems fairly safe out here in Brockle, but will it always be so? Now that Sarmina rules Katir, we can never be sure what she will do next. Ben Stickle hit the nail on the head when he said Katir could not last without creatures to supply it with rations. Will the cat start to search Mossflower for us? She will have to do something before next winter. She has a full army to feed. Martin, I feel that we are living on a knife's edge here. Ben Stickle wants peace. Skipper wants war. The Abbess wants peace. Lady Amber wants war. Bor the Fighter is the rightful ruler of Mossflower. I cannot leave here. I have responsibilities to our friends, the Woodlanders and the Corrim. Who could I send? Martin, there is only you. You have travelled. You are an experienced warrior. You are the one I will stake my trust on. Don't rush to give me your answer now. I want you to think about it. This is a very dangerous mission, and I will understand if you wish to stay here. My home is your home. I believe that my father still lives. You must bring him back to Mossflower to break Sarmina's regime. Together, under the leadership of Bor the Fighter, we will defeat Sarmina.
The spell was broken by Lady Amber, who came striding in with a face that was so grim it heralded bad news.
Ferdy and Cogs are lost for sure. We've scoured high and low, all of us. It's as if the forest has swallowed them up.
Bella scratched her stripes reflectively.
Have you seen Chib?
Yes, he's been around Katir. Nothing to report, really. I sent him on a wide patrol of the woods. Maybe he'll bring news before nightfall.
The searchers returned at noon. Goody had busied herself setting out a salad luncheon on the sward outside Brockhall. Woodlanders ate in silence, avoiding any mention of the lost young ones while Goody was about. Shortly, they set off again to resume searching. It was not a happy day in Mossflower. Martin was torn with the desire to help the searchers and curious to find out more about the mysterious place called Salamandastron, the former one. By early noon, he was out searching with the others, knowing that Bella would tell him more that night. Sarmina stood at a high chamber window, watching the perimeter of the woodland, where the trees thinned out into shrubs and bushes. There they were, at last! The ragged columns tramped out of the woodlands, with Clud bawling orders at them.
Come on, you sloppy mob! Smarten yourselves up into proper ranks! Right, Marcus, lead off! Tidy the pace up there, I'll not have you roll up and into the garrison like a load of hedgehogs on Daisy Chain Day! You there! Yes, you! Liven your ideas up, Milano, or I'll liven them up for you with my spear!
The captain's voice drifted up to Sarmina. She could see plainly that there had been no losses among her troops. Neither had there been any massive captives taken. In a sudden outburst of vicious temper, she slashed a wall curtain from top to bottom with her wicked claws before storming out down the stairs to the parade ground. The three platoons staggered to an untidy halt in the courtyard. Wearily, they bumbled their way into formation, shouldering weapons and showing thousand-eye shields front and centre. Samina checked her rush in the doorway and strode gracefully out with sinuously waving tail and baleful eye. A tremor rippled the ranks as they stood stiffly to attention, all eyes front. They saluted jointly.
Hail Samina, Wildcat Queen of a Thousand Eyes, ruler of all...
Save your breath, fools! You'll get your chance to speak when I say and not before.
Samina prowled between the ranks, missing nothing, not even the two pitiful forms that lay bound on the gravel. Fortunata stood rooted to the spot, feeling the queen's feral breath, raising the hairs on the nape of her neck.
Well, fox, seems that you all had a cheery spring outing in the woods. I notice that half the patrols are injured in one way or another. Tell me, did those two small woodlanders put up such a ferocious battle?
Samina continued circling Fortunata, her voice at a level of dangerous calm.
No need to worry now, eh, fox? We've caught their two champion warriors this time. What, if I may ask, was your heroic part in all this?
Fortunata's limbs trembled with the effort of standing motionless.
It was Claude who caught them, milady. He found them asleep in a tent made from a blanket. Ashleg and I helped to bring them in.
Samina repeated the phrase slowly.
You helped to bring them in. I see. Good work.
The pine marten was next to receive Samina's attention.
Ah, my fearless friend Ashleg. You must be in great pain. Did one of those two bold rogues nibble through your wooden leg?
No, Majesty. That happened when my patrol was attacked by Fortunata's command in the night.
Ashleg blurted out, surprised at the shrillness of his own voice. Samina widened her eyes in mock horror.
How awful! We attacked ourselves in the dark. No doubt it was all a little mistake.
That's right, milady. Just a bit of a mistake. It could have happened to anyone, really.
Fortunata's protest sounded hollow. The wildcat turned her back on the whole scene. Paws akimbo, she stood staring out toward Mossflower. When she eventually spoke, her tones dripped sarcasm and controlled rage.
Get out of my sight, all of you idiotic scum! Down on your bellies and crawl back into the barracks like the worms you are. That way I won't have to look at your thick, gormless faces slobbering excuses at me. Go on, clear off the lot of you! Fortunata, Ashleg, Clud, bring the prisoners up to my chamber.
Less than a minute later, Argilor stirred on his spruce branch and blinked owlishly, unaware that he had missed the chance of snatching a quick meal from the parade ground. He dozed off again in the hot afternoon sun, as Chib shot across the front of him, bound for Brockhall in safety. The tiny red-breasted spy had not missed a single word or movement of what took place on the parade ground. A group of sad-faced creatures sat in the main hall of Bella's home. Gonf tossed the blankets and empty cordial jar on the table in front of the Corrim leaders.
"Found them over to the west, about halfway between here and Katia. The place stank of weasel and ferret. Lots of tracks. A big party, I'd say. Anyone got more news?"
Bella looked around the searchers who had returned, checking that the Stickles were not present. She kept her voice low.
"Chip saw them trussed up on the parade ground at Katir earlier today. There's no doubt about it. Ferdy and Cogs have been taken prisoner. They were carried off to the Wildcat's chamber for probable questioning."
Skipper slammed a paw against the hearth.
"Mates, it doesn't bear thinking about. Those two poor little fellers in the vermin's brig."
Columbine's voice had a sob in it.
"What we tell Ben and Goody, poor creatures?"
Gonf was in no doubt at all.
"Tell them we'll rescue little Ferdy and Cogs back straight away. That's what we'll do, mateys."
There was a roar of approval. Bella called for silence.
"Please, Gonf, be sensible. I'm certain that the Corrim will agree to mount a rescue operation as soon as possible. But let's not run off or do anything reckless in the meanwhile. It would only end up in more prisoners being taken, or lives being lost."
"Bella is right,"
Abbess Germain put in.
"I suggest you let me preside over the rescue operation. We can use all of you, especially Chib.
He will be of more value to us now than ever before. Meanwhile, let us keep our hopes high and tempers in check. Bella is very busy working on something else for our benefit with Martin, and they must be excluded from the rescue attempt.
Bella was astonished. She looked blankly at Germaine. The old abbess smiled back at her.
I, too, was out taking the air in the woods early this morning.
Bella bowed to the abbess.
Thank you for offering your help, old friend.
Bella and Martin retired to the study. Immediately Bella closed the door, Martin turned to her.
Bella, I have decided. I will find Bor the fighter. I will undertake the journey to Salamandastron.
Bella took hold of the warrior's paws.
Are you sure you want to do this thing, Martin?
Martin nodded firmly.
For you and all my friends in Mossflower, I will find this strange place, even if it is at the world's end, and I will bring back your father, Bor the fighter.
The door swung open. Gom Fentered, rubbing a paw to his ear.
Funny things, doors. Sometimes it's as if they're not there, and you can hear everything. By the way, Miss Bella, I'm surprised at you. Fancy sending my matey off on a quest without an able-bodied assistant.
Martin hesitated. He looked to Bella.
I'd feel a lot safer with a good thief along.
The kindly badger smiled.
Of course, careless of me. Welcome, Gumph. We may need a brain as sharp as yours.
They sat on the edge of a scroll-littered desk, while Bella settled comfortably into a dusty old armchair. She sighed and looked from one to the other.
Well, I wish I knew where to begin. Fighting badgers have been going off questing for Salamandastron as far back as memory goes. My grandfather, old Lord Brocktree, went off when I was very small. Then later he was followed by my father, Bor the Fighter.
Is there any record of whether they ever found it? Or are there any maps of the way to Salamandastron?
Martin interrupted. Bella stroked her stripes thoughtfully.
There must be a map somewhere. Both Lord Brocktree and Bor seemed to know where they were going. One thing I do know, it would be far too difficult to find the place of dragons without some form of key or map. You would need directions.
Gonf smiled disarmingly. He picked up a bundle of scrolls from the desktop.
Well, mateys, the solution's simple. Let's find the map.
It had been a confused and frightening day for the two little hedgehogs. Since they had been taken by Clud's patrol, not a word had passed between them. Both lay on the floor of Sarmina's room, trying to forget the pains that shot through their bound-up paws and the filthy-tasting gags tied roughly across their mouths. Ferdy snuffled through his nostrils for breath and exchanged glances with Cogs. What must Goody and Ben be doing? Would the Corrim leaders organise a search and a rescue? What lay ahead they could only guess, but it wasn't going to be very pleasant. Sarmina sat watching impassively as Ashleg cut the captives' bonds and relieved them of their gags. Ferdy and Cogs lay quite still, fighting back tears as the circulation was painfully restored to their swollen limbs. Clud stirred the inert forms with his spear point.
Huh, they're fit enough, my lady. Wait till their tongues loosen up and we'll see what they've got to say for themselves.
Cogs rolled closer to Ferdy.
Don't tell the villains a thing, matey. Let's be like Martin and Gumph, brave and silent.
His voice was barely above a whisper. Fortunata kicked out cruelly at Cogs. She regretted it immediately as her paw came into contact with his sharp little spines.
Silence, prisoner. Don't you know you're in the presence of Her Majesty, Queen Zarmina?
Ferdy curled his lip rebelliously at the vixen.
She's not Her Majesty. We're woodlanders.
Zarmina leaned forward to the two little creatures lying at the foot of her chair. Bringing her face near them, she slitted her eyes venomously. Baring her great yellowed fangs and extending her fearsome claws, she gave vent to a sudden wild growl. Ferdy and Cogs clutched at each other, their eyes wide with terror. Sarmina laughed and leaned back in her chair.
Now, my two tiny woodland heroes, let's begin, shall we?
The wildcat's expression became almost benevolent as she took a tray of food from a table and sat with it in her lap.
You, Ferdy, or is it Cogs? Wouldn't you like some milk and biscuits? A rosy autumn apple, perhaps? Or maybe you prefer dried fruit and nuts? Look, they won't hurt you.
Sarmina bit into an apple, washing it down with a draught of milk. The two small hedgehogs gazed longingly as she ate. They had not tasted food since dawn that morning. Sarmina selected a biscuit. Tossing the apple aside, she nibbled daintily, flicking crumbs from her whiskers. Ferdy licked his lips, Cogs nudged him warningly.
It's probably all poisoned. Don't touch it.
Samina placed the platter on the floor close to them.
Silly. If it were poison, I'd be ill by now. Try it yourself. It's all from my special store. All I want is that you tell me about your woodland friends.
Cogs yawned and muttered wearily.
Don't hear anything, matey. Not a word.
Ferdy yawned. Samina sat watching the two young captives. Their eyelids were beginning to droop. So she decided to try another angle. Stretching luxuriously, she yawned and snuggled deep in the big cushioned chair.
Oh, I bet you two are tired. Wouldn't it be nice to lie down on a bed of clean, fresh straw and sleep for as long as you please? You can, too. It's quite simple, really. Just tell me about your friend. Who they are, where they live, and so on. I won't harm them. You have my word. They'll thank you for it later when they are truly free. What do you say?
Ferdy blinked hard, fighting back sleep.
Our friends are already free from you.
Samina controlled her mounting temper by burying her claws in a russet apple.
That's as may be. But consider your own position. You two aren't free. And you're not likely to be until you get some sense into your heads and answer my questions. Do you hear me?
The wildcat's threats fell upon deaf ears. Ferdy and Cogs lay with their heads resting against each other, nodding slightly as they snored. They were both fast asleep. Clud touched them gently with his spear butt.
Huh! It beats me why you don't string them both up and give them a taste of your claws, my lady. That'd soon make them talk.
Samina's voice was tinged with heavy sarcasm.
You would think that, thickhead. How long do you suppose they'd last with that treatment? These two are valuable hostages. Carry them down to the cells and lock them up for the night. We'll see if they are hungry enough to talk business tomorrow.
Gingivere heard the sound of an upstairs door opening. Someone was coming. It was Clud, accompanied by Ashleg and Fortunata. A key turned in the lock of the cell to the wildcat's immediate left. He heard Clud's voice giving orders.
Right! One in here and one in the cell on the other side of the prisoner, whose name must not be mentioned by my lady's order. They must be kept apart!
When the trio had departed, Gingivere reflected upon this new development. Whoever the prisoners were, he knew that Chib the Robin would be interested next time he visited Kertia.